You know, the verses 1 through 5 in Daniel chapter 6 demonstrate that Daniel was consistently exercising the principles of standing strong that we have already discussed. I know the voice sounds very young in this version that was read today, but by this time Daniel was already getting on in years. He'd already been in faithful service, and I am amazed and yet overjoyed that we read about this man that through all of that time he was faithful to God. Through all of that time, we don't read any failure of his life, any compromise in his life. And now it comes to this point where most people would kind of kick back and say, look, I've been faithful, I've been serving God for a long time. I'm through all those storms, I'm through all those battles. And yet, there was still a huge battle that Daniel had to face. And we're gonna see some more times in his life that Daniel had to fight spiritual battles. But what we see in verses 1 through 5 is that none of those principles had left Daniel's life. He was continuing to shore up those eroding foundations, so he didn't allow internal desires or cultural pressure to erode away the foundations of his faith. He was continuing to look to God. He was continuing not to bow down to the pressures around him. And the Bible says very clearly a couple times, they couldn't find anything. They tried. Now, it doesn't take long in today's world to find some dirt on somebody, does it? I mean, it seems like you elect somebody into something, and that's all the time that he's on the campaign trail, all the time that person is in office. People are just trying to find dirt, trying to find something that they can put out there to come against, to demean, and usually they find something, because usually there's something in our lives that doesn't line up with integrity, with the Word of God. But they couldn't find anything on Daniel. They tried, and they finally decided that the only way they were going to trap this guy was if it was something to do with his God. Now, that's a testimony, because that states the fact that they knew that Daniel wouldn't do anything that went against his faith, and that no matter what the consequences, he would stay true to that. And he did. But here's what I want you to see in Daniel chapter 6. And we find our key text in Daniel chapter 6, verse 23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Now, please don't take this to mean that this wasn't a tough situation for Daniel. But what the word is telling us is that his trust preserved him. And what I'm telling you this morning is that your trust in God will be what preserves you and allows you to come out on the other side of whatever you're facing. We read this on Wednesday night in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10. I told you that I was going to use it this morning. David says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And if you get nothing else this morning, go home with those two verses on your heart. The fact that Daniel came through because he trusted in God. The fact that David said that we can trust in God because he will never forsake those who seek him. Are you trusting God this morning? That's what I want to ask you before we come and pray. Are you trusting God? And so I'm giving you seven things this morning that I see in Daniel's life, in Daniel chapter 6, in which he trusted God through this situation. Seven things that I believe we need to learn to trust God through the situations in our lives. Number one, trust God when things are changing around you. Can I ask you for a show of hands? How many have had things change in your life in the last year? Raise your hand. Now, put them back down, and we're going to put them up again. Now, if I qualify this somewhat, and I say it like this, how many of you have had significant change that challenged you in the last year? Still, most of the hands went up. Things are always changing around us. And when things begin to change, things changed around Daniel. I mean, he had been faithful, he'd been serving, but this was a new king. Things were changing around Daniel because this king decided to do his ruling different. Bible tells us that he decided to appoint 120 advisors around him. Well, Daniel had never been there before. That meant he had to learn new ways. He had to work with new people, right? And obviously, these people ended up not liking him. But it was change in his life. I know that there has been change take place. All of us go through change. And the problem is that we can expect more change to come. Because about the time we think we got things figured out in our lives, we think we have some order to it, things change and we have to figure it all out again, right? And some changes are bigger than others. But what I'm telling you this morning, trust God. Don't allow that change to bring fear into your life. Don't allow that change to turn you away from God, but let it turn you towards God. So God was aware of the change before it ever came into your life. And I think we need to know that this morning. When change comes our way, sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Sometimes we feel like we've been blindsided. But God was not taken unaware. He knew. He knew what was coming. You've got to trust that God not only knows about the change, but that God is going to be with you through the changes that come in your life. Trust God. Don't get afraid. Don't start panicking. But trust God. Number two, trust God when those around you seek to tear you down. It's no secret that we truly live in a culture today that delights in tearing other people down. And I don't care who you are. We just talked about it a minute ago. People want to find something wrong with you. People want to find dirt on you. People just, it's the way that we live in America today. It's like, we're going to tear each other down. And the thing that really makes me sad is sometimes this attitude creeps deep into the church as well. Sometimes people do it, even unknowingly, I guess I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But we live in a society that seeks to tear people down. Now, as Christians, I believe we live in a society that seeks to tear us down. For our stances, for our faith, for our beliefs, for our integrity. And really, that's all they had against Daniel. It wasn't that they were tearing him down because he was this awful person who was doing wickedness and wrong deeds, and they wanted to get him out of his position and out of office. No, they were tearing him down because he was righteous. They were tearing him down because he was faithful, because they couldn't find any dirt on him. They probably were tearing him down because he wouldn't join the good old boys club and do what they were doing. And that makes people mad. When you live a life of integrity, when you live a life of righteousness, and the people around you don't, they get convicted. And the easiest thing for them to do is to try to tear you down so that they make themselves feel better. I don't know if anybody's going through a situation this morning in which somebody is trying to tear you down, and you feel the burden of that, and you feel the pressure of that. But the answer is to trust in God. Did you notice that not once did Daniel attack his attackers? Not once. He didn't go to the king and argue. his integrity versus their lack of integrity? He trusted God. And I know that seems counterintuitive to the way that we want to do things, because our first response and our ongoing response when people begin to come against us and attack us is to defend ourselves and to attack back, right? Is that human nature? Come on, we all feel it. We've all been there. When somebody attacks us, we're ready to stand up in defense. Now, I'm not telling you that there's never a time to stand up for yourself. That would be ridiculous. But I'm saying the first response should be to trust in God. And the second response should be to trust in God. And the third response should be to trust in God. Number three, trust God when things begin to get crazy. You see, not only do we face changes around us, but sometimes, oh my goodness, probably a lot of the time, life is crazy. And there's changes. And then there's craziness. Right now, I feel like we live in an America that is crazy. I mean, all out crazy. What are you going to do? You're going to trust God. Do you remember when the disciples were preaching the word shortly after Jesus had ascended? And they were called into account for what they were doing. They were brought before the Sanhedrin. Things had changed. They'd already walked through that time of being people tearing them down, would continue to walk that. But then things began to get a little crazy. They were brought directly before the Sanhedrin, and they were told that they weren't to preach the word anymore. They also suffered physical persecution for their obedience to what Jesus had commanded them to do. Now here's their response to those who told them that they couldn't do it any longer, to the craziness that was around them. In Acts chapter 5 verse 29 says, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." What do we do when things start to get crazy? We trust God and we live in obedience to what He's told us to do. See, those two go hand in hand. We trust God and we live in obedience to what He's told us to do. When your life begins to spin out of control and gets crazy, I don't care what area of life it may be. It can be your finances. It can be relationships. It can be your job. It can be your kids. It can be all kinds of things. It can be your health. But when things begin to get crazy, trust God. And don't change your obedience because things now are crazy. Don't give up on what God has called you to be. Don't give up on what God has called you to do. But trust Him and continue to obey Him, no matter how crazy things may get. Anybody fighting a little bit of craziness in your life right now? I want you to come and tell God, "God, I'm going to trust You. Through this craziness, I'm going to trust You, and I want to be obedient to be the person that You've called me to be." Number four, trust God and keep on praying. Trust God. Daniel served in a kingdom that changed all the rules, fought the battle of people coming against him and tearing him down for his faith. And then things started to get real crazy because the king issues an edict. Talk about craziness. An edict that says praying is illegal. That's what it amounted to, right? Praying to any god is illegal. And not only was it illegal, but the punishment was even crazier. This isn't, oh, well, you might lose your position, I'm going to dock you some pay. This is, you're going to lose your life. And in spite of that, Daniel trusted God. See, this takes trust. Daniel trusted God, and the very next verse says that he went home and he got down on his knees and he prayed three times a day. Now, some people may say, oh, well, Daniel was one of those people who was protesting. Daniel was doing it out of spite for the king's order. He didn't like the king's order, so he was going to resist. Peaceful resistance. But it was none of that. Daniel wasn't trying to protest or get his point across or resist in some way. The Bible is very clear in its characterization of what Daniel was doing. And Daniel chapter 6 says that what he was doing was the same thing he had always done. He didn't change in response to the craziness. What he did was he stayed the same. Sometimes we react to the craziness And we all of a sudden we build up this protest, we start these actions in our lives that you know, oh, we're going to win this battle. Well, what we really need to do is trust God and keep doing what we should have been doing all along, which is pray. You know that most people don't grab a hold of prayer until they need something. And then they wonder why it's so hard. Because they haven't developed that lifestyle of talking to God. Of saying, God, here I am. Let's talk for a while. And again, this isn't a ritual that earns us points with God. This is a part of our relationship with the Lord. And Daniel had a relationship with God. And three times a day, he talked to the Lord. And so when all the craziness came, he just simply went home and he did what he had been doing, what he did every day of his life. He talked to God. Will you trust God and keep on praying through all of the changes, in spite of people trying to tear you down, through the craziness in your life? Will you trust God and keep on praying? Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells a parable. And his whole reason for telling the parable in verse 1 is that they should always pray and not give up. That's the whole reason he told the parable. It was the parable of the persistent widow. But verse 1 tells us why he would teach his disciples, what he wanted them to learn. It says he told them this so that they would always pray and not give up. He knew that things were going to get crazy for them. Not only with his death, his resurrection, his ascension, but through the rest of the lives of their lives on this earth as they carried out his commission. He knew things were going to get crazy in this world. And the one thing that he wanted his disciples to know, that through it all, keep praying. Don't give up. But that takes trust in God. You see, if you read that parable, I'm not going to read it to you this morning, but go back to it again and study it. You see that she knocked, but she didn't get the answer that she wanted. She didn't get the answer that she wanted. But she persisted. Another way to say that is she didn't give up. She kept asking. She kept seeking. She kept praying. And then the other key verse in that parable, there's kind of two bookends verses to that parable for me. One is verse 1, which says that he told them this parable because he wanted them to always pray and not give up. And the other bookend is in verse 8, and it says this: however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And those two verses have always stood out to me in that parable as the teaching points that God wanted to give us. We should trust him and keep on praying. But is anybody going to be doing that when the Son of Man returns? Are we still going to be trusting God? Are we still going to be praying? Or will we have given up? Somewhere along the way, in your journey with Jesus Christ, will you give up? Will you stop praying? Will you stop entering into conversation with God and talking to the Lord about it and letting him talk to you? Because when you do, you no longer stand strong. And the way that Daniel stood strong through this whole thing was that he never quit praying. He trusted God and he kept on praying. Number 5. Well, we already talked about things getting crazy. But will you trust God when things go from crazy to horrible? I mean, there are changes. There are crazy things. But what about when your life and the situations around you just turn completely horrible, unbelievable? And that's what happened to Daniel. We had the changes in the kingdom, people tearing him down. We had the craziness of this new law about praying. He continues to pray, and now the horrible part comes in. They follow up on their plan. They bring it to the attention of the king, who really had no animosity towards Daniel at all. And the king has to follow through with what he had decreed. And so with sadness of heart, he has Daniel brought in and they throw him into a den filled with lions. And they roll a stone in front of it. The king puts his signet seal upon it. In other words, a seal. This can't be changed. This is his fate. Some of you know what it's like for things to go from crazy to horrible. What are you going to do? See, when I'm talking about things that I know you guys know what I'm talking about. How many of you have those things in your life that even if somebody came up to you and said, hey, how are things going? You couldn't explain it to them if you wanted to. You know what I'm talking about? You know? I mean, sometimes we can explain crazy, but horrible, it's just like, it wouldn't even help if I told you. You wouldn't get how heavy of a burden this is upon me. You wouldn't understand all of the things that I'm fighting and the things that have happened that have come against me and how things have changed so quickly and really how horrible this situation is. I mean, we just can't explain those things to people. We know how we feel. We know what's at stake for us. As far as I can tell, Daniel didn't even have anybody to go tell. What do we do when things go from crazy to horrible? Friends, you're not the only one in a horrible situation. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that are seated around you, and they're probably facing some of their own horrible situations. Sometimes it's life and death situations. It's like Daniel had. I mean, I get overwhelmed sometimes when I think about all of the horrible situations that exist just within this little tiny congregation of ours. And if you think the prayer list says it all, that doesn't even scratch the surface of people's real pain and the real things that they're going through. We don't put that stuff out there. There's a lot of horrible stuff that happens in this world. I just was reading last night. I honestly hadn't even heard about it. Anybody hear about the shooting in was it Cincinnati this week? And a guy just, I think it happens so often anymore. But a guy just got up and had a handbag and was walking around kind of an outdoor type mall situation with different businesses and had brought a 9mm and about 250 rounds and just starts. After he got a donut and some coffee, and he just starts shooting people. Having no idea what motive is or anything. I think three people were killed. It's amazing that more weren't. A couple others wounded. One girl, he didn't even know this girl. He shot her, and then he continued to shoot her 12 times. He shot her. Somehow she survived. But I just think about the horrible things that people have to go through in this world. Paula, just the beginning of this year, what a horrible thing to have to go through. To have your husband taken from you. And not only taken from you, but you were right there. You were in that crash. Your body suffered. What a horrible thing. Kathy, Joe passing away this week, and what a violent way that he had to pass away, and your daughter had to be there and see that. That's horrible. And I could go on and on and on and on. But the answer is the same. When things go from crazy to horrible, trust God. That's what Daniel did. He just continued to trust God. He mentioned how you'd feel if the verdict came down and they said, you know, Daniel, I really like you, but I have to do this and you're going to be thrown into the den of lions tonight. I also think there's something significant in this passage when it says that the king worked very hard to try to override this situation, you know, to rectify it before he worked as hard as he could to find a different way. And of course, he couldn't, and that's how it ended up. And I think that's the way most of us feel when these horrible situations come along. we struggle and we try to find a way to work it out. Right? But what makes it horrible is when that realization starts to kick in that no matter what I do, this isn't changing. Been there? No matter what I try, no matter what I do, the situation's still horrible. And that's when we have to buckle down and trust God even more. Amen. This guy was the king. And no matter what he did, he couldn't change the situation. This guy liked Daniel, but no matter what he did, he couldn't change the situation. Some of you are there and you feel that. You feel that pressure of knowing, I've tried everything. Some of you, I'm surprised that we don't hear somewhere in this Daniel saying, but I prayed. 3 times a day. And it still went from crazy to horrible. And that's when we begin to question our faith and to want to let go of that trust in God. When the crazy becomes horrible and unchangeable. Number 6. Trust God. Trust God even when your fate seems sealed. You see, the Bible tells us that not only was he thrown into that den of lions, but a stone was rolled in front of it, and a seal was placed upon that stone. That seal said, nobody can open this, nobody can break it. There is no way out of this circumstance. I want to read to you from Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Paul says, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the trouble we suffered in Asia. We had great burdens there that were beyond our own strength. We even gave up hope of living. That's horrible. Truly, in our own hearts, we believed we would die. There's a seal upon this. But this happened, watch this. Paul says that all this bad stuff that happened to him, and it was bad. Stonings, shipwrecks, people coming against them. But this happened so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God. Listen to him again. Why is all of this happening? To remind us that in order to stand strong, we have to trust in God and not ourselves. Trust in God, not ourselves. And here's what he goes on to say. He learned this from experience. He said, we trust in God who raises people from the dead. See, that's why we can trust him. That's why Daniel could trust him. That's why the 3 Hebrew children trusted him. God saved us from these great dangers of death. And then Paul says he will continue to save us. We have put our hope in him and he will save us again. Can I tell you something this morning? If you're in a horrible situation and the stone has been rolled in front of it and the seal has been placed upon it, can I remind you that he is the God who moves stones? Amen. Can I remind you that a guy had been dead for 4 days and a stone was in front of his tomb, but Jesus said, roll away the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And the guy did. Amen. Can I remind you that on the 3rd day, he rolled his own stone away? So if he can roll Lazarus' stone away, if he can roll his own stone away, don't you think he can roll your stone away too? No matter what your situation, trust God. Even when it seems like your fate has been sealed, it's over, there is no other answer. God can change things. And if he needs to, he will raise you from the dead to accomplish his purposes. Now, none of us want to go there. But I know that God can. He is a resurrecting God. And I've seen God take situations that were dead. The coffin, the nails were in the coffin. You know, people, I'm talking spiritually here, they were buried under 8 foot of earth. And God brings them back to life. Isaiah 25 and verse 9 says, in that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Some of you need that verse today, because when he does roll away the stone, when he does bring the answer into your life, when he does bring you through victorious, you're going to say, that's our God. And all of this happened because I trusted. And he saved me. Number 7, that's our last one today. Trust God and let him deal with your enemies. What's the Bible tell us that Daniel did when he got out of that place? Nothing. But what did God do? God caused all that was to come upon Daniel to come upon his enemies. You see, I'm the type of guy, I mean, even in watching a show on television, I will get like, somebody needs to punch that guy. Right? I put them in their place. Did you see what they did? You know, and it can be make-believe, but I still get upset. It's like, somebody needs to get them for doing what they did. That was wrong. But that's not who God wants me to be as a real person, is it? God wants me to trust in him. Why is it important for us to trust God with our enemies and let him deal with our enemies? Because the Lord says, vengeance is mine. And only the Lord knows what he's doing in that heart. Nineveh was an enemy to Jonah and all of his people. And Jonah had to learn a lesson. He already kind of knew it. That's why he rebelled. But he had to learn this lesson, trusting God, let God deal with him. The reason Jonah didn't want to let God deal with him is because he was afraid that God would have mercy upon them and they wouldn't get what Jonah thought that they deserved. And he was right, because God knew that there was room for repentance in their hearts and their change. See, I don't understand. I don't understand how some of my brothers and sisters who have gone through persecution, watched their families be killed, been thrown into prison for years, can have anything left in them that they can pray for their persecutors and see those people won to the Lord. But it has happened so many times. Now, we don't read that in Daniel. We don't read that they came to the Lord, they got saved, and they became Daniel's best buddies. That's not what we read. We read the opposite. It says that they and their families, what a sad testimony, they and their families were thrown into that same lion's den, and before they could even hit bottom, the lions pounced upon them and just devoured them. So, trust God. Let him deal with your enemies. I close with this verse. I want you to stand with me today. Second Kings chapter 18 and verse 5. We read a commentary about one of the kings of Judah. His name was Hezekiah. And of all the kings, this testimony perhaps moves my heart more than any of the other testimonies. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. That's how it sums him up. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, you go back and read about Hezekiah's reign, you will see that there was some very horrible stuff that he had to trust God for. Enemies much bigger than him coming against him, surrounding the city, things that he couldn't handle, things that he couldn't change. And then it goes on to say this, there was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. Wow. And the one thing that caused him to have that testimony written about his life was not how many buildings he built. It was not how many battles he won. It was not how much wealth he amassed. It was not even the restoration of a temple. The one thing that caused the testimony about Hezekiah to be as it is listed in 2 Kings chapter 18 and verse 5 is that he trusted. Do you need to trust God today? I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I'm gonna open up this altar for just a few moments. And maybe you're here today and you want to come and just say, God, I'm going to trust you. There have been some changes, and I need to trust you. There's some people trying to tear me down, but Lord, I want to trust you. Things have gotten crazy, God, but I'm going to trust you. God, you know that I've been praying, but I need your strength to keep on praying and keep on trusting you. If that's you today, I want you to come. Just stand in this altar. If you don't want to stand, then find a place to sit, find a place to kneel. But I want to pray with you today. Maybe you're way beyond that. Maybe you say, God, things have gone from crazy to horrible. But I want to stand strong. I want to trust you like Hezekiah trusted you. Maybe you feel like the stone has been already rolled into place and the seal has been placed there. And it's dark. And you can feel the breath of the lions on the back of your neck. Daniel's testimony, when the king cried out, oh, Daniel, has your God been able to save you? He said, I'm here, I'm okay. My God sent an angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. See, Daniel didn't say, you bet, King, God came and got me out of here last night. Put me up in the Ritz-Carlton. Had room service. No, he spent all night there. But God was with him. God didn't make the lions disappear, but he did shut their mouths. Maybe you're in that position today. I'm going to invite you to come and just say, I'm going to trust God. And maybe you're even here today and you say, you know that I've got some enemies. And I've been struggling with knowing what to do. I'm struggling with forgiveness. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling with anger or just frustration. And I'm going to trust that God is going to take care. I don't have to figure it out. God is going to take care of it. If that's you today, I want you to come right now. Any of those things, any reasons you want to trust God in this place, I want you to come. Take a step of faith. Just tell the Lord, I'm trusting you today. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Amen. Anybody else? I'm trusting God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hey, can I tell you a testimony if some of you are coming? I pointed you out a little bit ago, Paula. Paula texted me this morning. She said, Pastor, can I meet with you before service? I got something that I want to tell you. You trusted God. When the stone was rolled in front of the tomb, you trusted God. The lions came in to devour. You trusted God. Paul said, there's a guy that I've known for a long time, and he got a word from the Lord, and through prayer and confirmation, they began talking and texting, and he's a righteous man, and he's coming to Arizona, he's moving out here to Arizona, November, and she is getting married the day after Thanksgiving of this year. You see, God is always there. And God took horrible, and he said, just keep trusting me. It may be night for you right now, and you feel alone in that lion's den, but know that God is there. And morning is going to come. And when morning comes, the call may be, are you still there? And you're going to say, yeah, I'm still there. I'm still here because my God never left me alone. Do you need to trust God today? I'm going to call one more time. Maybe you're here today and you say, I just need some encouragement. I need to trust God in my situation. I want some to come and join those who are standing, kneeling here today. There are some important things in their lives. Come on. I want you to pray with them. We heard testimonies last week of people who trusted the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, some of you prayer warriors, if you're not coming to pray yourself, come and find somebody to pray with today. Debbie's up here on the front row. Miss Kathy is up here. Andy's standing here. Let's pray for one another in the name of Jesus today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you love us still, that we can trust you. Lord, you understand sometimes the burdens that we carry in our hearts and the pain. Lord, you understand, God, when we can't stand strong anymore. You understand, Lord, when the craziness swirls around us and when there are no answers and when it gets worse from there. You understand what it's like to have a stone rolled in front of a death tomb. But God, I do not believe that that is the end of our story today. That here in this place, there is resurrection life in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray. We pray for trust, a deep trust to settle into the hearts of our people today. We pray that that trust would be that sustains us, that gets us through, and that like Daniel, our testimony would be that we came through because we trusted God. You see, friends, it's not having the right prayer formula that makes it work out. It's not accomplishing a certain amount of work that will weigh the scales so that you get what you need. It's simply one thing. It's saying, Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you're my Savior. I trust that you're my Lord. But I also trust that you're my shepherd. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. May we trust you today, Lord. May it be said of us, they trusted God. Like Daniel, they trusted. Like Hezekiah, they trusted. Lord, we just declare with all of our hearts today that we are trusting you. How many are trusting God today? Just raise your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm trusting. I'm trusting. And I'm going to keep trusting. Say, God, you are good. That God, you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. That God, no matter the circumstances in my life, God, you will bring me through. I will not change. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep my trust and my faith in you, oh God, the lover of my soul. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. See, it's not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about anybody else, but it's about the God that you serve. And he is bigger. He is bigger than the king's edict. He is stronger than a whole den full of lions. And there is no stone. There is no stone that cannot be rolled away. So we give you thanks, our God. We give you thanks, sweet praise in this place. Sweet praise, Lord, for who you are. In quietness and trust, we find our salvation. Thank you, Lord. Trust you. Trust you, Lord. How many believe the Bible's real? You're no different than Daniel. You serve the same God. God can do it for Daniel. God's going to do it for you. Amen. Let's give him praise as we leave this place today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go trusting in God for everything that we need.